Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for giving this opportunity to stand in your midst once again with the word of the Lord. And I thank thank Pastor for this opportunity too. And it's nice to see some people today in the church. Last time when we came, there was nobody here, but it's a blessing to gather and worship, and greetings to every one of you who's listening online too. So for today's meditation, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I will read it in English. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. O Lord, we thank you, Master, for your word, O Master, which is true and living, O Master. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, O Lord. You have given us in our lifetime one more Sunday, O Lord, Father. Protected us, Lord, from danger and harm, Lord. Giving us grace, O God, to come to your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, speak to us through these words, Lord, Father. Let it be a blessing to everyone who hears, O Lord. And let it, Lord, Master, deliver us and lead us, Lord, victoriously. You take the glory and honor. Cover me under your blood, Lord. Lord, submitting everything into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was praying what to talk about this Sunday for the youth message, this verse came into my mind. And the Lord gave me, I've talked about this verse on different times, but the Lord led me with a different message today. Today we are going to see what are the benefits of being crucified with Christ. In this world, we have heard the word gospel. The gospel means the good news. And when you read this verse here very carefully, you can see there are three parts of this verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is the first part. The second part says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. So the second part is Christ living in a person. And the third part you can see is the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. In other words, living by faith. So there are three parts in this message, you can have three parts. But let me start with an illustration. There was a young man. It's just an imaginary story, so don't take it real, but it is a true reality which is occurring, at least in the life of Christians. There was a young man who was very active in the church. So he used to come to church. He used to pray. In his young age, in his teens, he used to pray, he used to sing songs, and he was so active in the church. So everyone praised him in the church. Everyone liked him, they praised him. But when time passed away, when he entered his youth, when he was exposed to the universities, he started to think that this is a waste of time. Why should I spend time coming on Sunday instead? Let me concentrate on my studies. Let me enjoy my life. So what happened is, the people in the church still thought that he is very holy. He is very good, they thought. But what he was doing is, in the church he used to sing. In the church he used to pray. But outside, his life was totally different. He started to live a double life. And what happened is, in his lifetime, when time passed away, his years passed away, he studied, he got a good position in life, and then he started to say to other people who come to church, oh, you are wasting your time coming and praying. You are wasting your time serving God, because he got everything what he wanted. And life went on like that. But just imagine, if this person comes to the church again, what will he try to do? He would try to bring the world into the church. his priorities will be more of the worldly things into the church. That is what you can see in many Christian families or many Pentecostal generations. Instead of being a blessing to the church, after that they become a thorn to the church. They become to promote their own agendas. They try to promote their own things in the church. So what does the Bible say about this? Saying this, let me start saying, giving you this illustration. Let me start with a message. Here we can see what is a gospel message. When you read Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, it says like this: who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So Jesus, this is the whole gospel message. He gave himself for our sins so that we may be delivered from the present evil age. That is why Jesus came into this world. And if you read the first chapter, which continues to say that, even Paul says, even if an angel or me come and presents you with another gospel, do not turn away from that. So what you have heard, the gospel, Paul says to the Galatian church, it is a true gospel, but if you turn away from the true gospel, if you turn away from that, what will happen is you are missing the mark. You are missing the point, the whole point of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. You are missing it, he says. That is why he says here, in the 10th verse he says, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. So what does this mean? So the message that I'm going to take to you is, I have been crucified with Christ. But here, when you are being crucified with Christ, you should know that as young people, you are not to please man. Your priority is to please God. That is why here Paul writes, even though people may come with a different gospel, even though people may come with a different points of view, which may look good to your ears, which may sound beautiful to your mind, that is not true if you go away from the gospel that Jesus died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. So our priority is to please God. When you say you want to be crucified with Christ, what does it mean is you have to please God rather than man. You can please man to a certain extent, as I said in the illustration, because nobody can see your heart. Nobody can know what my heart is. But only the Lord God can see what our heart is. So God wants us to please him completely. But you can see, when it says that pleasing God, you can see how pleasing God should be the priority of every individual, of every person, every Christian, young person or old. Our priority should be pleasing God. And when we please God, what will happen is God will make you into a blessing. You are blessing in this earth and blessing in the church. So here you can see, I have been crucified. In the second chapter, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. So Paul writes in the past tense. Paul writes that I have been crucified. Not that I am being crucified. He says I have completed that process. So what are the things that we have to crucify? When we read John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says very clearly what we have to crucify. Most of us knows these verses by heart. John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. I will read it for you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So one of the main things that God wants to crucify, or that we have a struggle in our life, be it young or old, is these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And how can we crucify it? If you read, I have already, if I'm not wrong, I've spoken on that topic, a message prior. I have talked on it, that you can do it by yielding yourself to the Spirit of God. By yielding yourself to God's Spirit, you will be able to crucify oneself with Christ. Why is it so important? If you want to lead a victorious Christian life, you should be crucified with Christ. So today my message is, what are the benefits or what are the blessings a person would receive when you are crucified with Christ? When you read the Bible, I'm going to take you to certain instances in the Bible with certain characters, what happened in their life when they crucified themselves. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. You can see there was an instance there. In that instance, you can see Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. When 19, 1 to 10, you can see that when Jesus was passing through the Jericho, there was a short man. It's a very familiar passage. And Zacchaeus went and hid himself upon the tree, thinking that he would not be known by Jesus. He had only a desire to see Jesus. But that desire translated for Jesus to come into his house. So Jesus stood on the tree and Jesus said, I am coming to your house. Let us read the verse 8 there. Then Jesus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So here you can see a transformation in the life of a transformation in the life of Zacchaeus. How did this transformation take place? This transformation in the life of Zacchaeus took place because Jesus was present in his house. If you crucify, here you can see Zacchaeus was able to crucify his old nature. The presence of Jesus in our life should help us to crucify our old nature. That is what we can learn here. When Jesus is present in the house of Zacchaeus, Jesus did not say, oh, you have done all these things, Zacchaeus. You have taken something from some people. He did not say that. But the mere presence of Jesus in that house led to himself a condemnation or a heartbreaking experience for Zacchaeus. It brought a conviction that he is a sinner. He needs to give up things there. So he was able to crucify his own self there. That is what you can see here is, Lord, I give half of my goods. So in other words, maybe half of the goods were not his. You can take it in that sense too. Half of the goods that he earned was not his at all. It was maybe some others. And then he also not only says half, he said, anyone from anyone I've taken anything, I will give fourfold. So more than half was earned by some other means. But how did that realization come? How did that conviction come? When he was able to know, when he was present there in the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus brought that transformation in his life, you can see. Today also, do you have that transformation? We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves believers. Even more specifically, we take pride in saying we are Pentecostals. But is our life transformed? Young people, are you living a double life? A life which can be seen here in a different perspective, but outside, are you living a double life? That is what God is saying. If you really have felt the presence of Jesus, there will be a transformation in your life. If that transformation is not in your life, if that transformation has never occurred in your life, then it means that you haven't seen Jesus. Because wherever Jesus has gone, wherever the presence of Jesus was there, there has been transformations in their life. So here you can see in the life of Zacchaeus, there was a transformation. He was ready to give up even half of the goods. The goods were not important for him. The treasures that he earned was not important for him. But Jesus, the presence of Jesus was so great and so impacting in his life that he was ready to depart from those evil things. Today also, if you need that transformation, ask Jesus to come more. Seek the presence of Jesus. Young people, seek the presence of Jesus if you need this transformation. If you say that you do not have this transformation and if you are doing it as a routine, it means that you are not in the presence of Jesus. Today it's a time to think, where are we in the presence of God? So this is one example. I said that if you have been crucified with Christ, so crucifixion of oneself leads to transformation in your life. Let us take another example. The next example I would like to take is the life of Peter. When you see the life of Peter, you can see that Peter was a man who was close with God. He was a man who said, "You are the Son of God." When Jesus asked, "Whom do you think that I am?" The disciple Peter was the one who said, "You are the Son of God." So he was a man who had revelations on Jesus. But what happened to his life? Even though he had revelations about Jesus, you can see that in John chapter 21, you can see that he went fishing. He went away from God. He took some people there for 21st verse, chapter 1, 20, John chapter 21, verse 1. Okay, in the second verse, I will read it to you. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee and two others were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." So here you can see Peter, in spite of him walking with Jesus, in spite of him being with Jesus, what is happening in his life is circumstances is turning his life here and there. This is a true instance which can occur to every believer. Circumstances in our life will make us mold. Here you can see Peter has, even though he has seen the risen Lord, he doesn't know what to do. So he and his disciples are ready to go for fishing. They thought, maybe the old profession is good. Maybe the old things which I did are better because the Lord is gone. Now what do we do? So they started to go for fishing, you can see. But what did Jesus do in his life? What did Jesus do in the life of Peter? When you see the 15th verse, let me just read to you the 17th verse. Here you can see in John chapter 21, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" So here you can see, in spite of circumstances being contrary, or in spite of Peter behaving according to the circumstances, went away for fishing, the love of God did not stop there. God did not say, you are a person who went away, so let me put you aside. He did not say that and leave Peter aside. If I or you were there, we would have said, he walked with me for 3.5 years, and now he's gone back. He is not walking with me anymore. So maybe I should not take him with me. Maybe I should keep him aside. I should put him aside. Or I should keep a distance. I should be careful with Peter or with person like Peter because I cannot trust him. You and I would have said that. But what did Jesus say there? Jesus, you can see, is restoring Peter. Jesus is reinstating Peter. In other words, Jesus did not push him away. Jesus did not cast him away because of that circumstances. But what Jesus did is asked him one question. Simon, son of Jonah, do you really love me? Not once, not twice, but three times you can see that Peter was asked the same question. The first two times Peter said, yes, Lord, I know that you, yes, Lord, I love you. But he was saddened by the third time. When the third time the question came to him, he was so burdened that he said, what did he say? Lord, you know all things. He surrendered there. That was a turning point in the life of Peter. That was the turning point that made Peter into a great apostle. That was the turning point, that question, the voice of Jesus. When Jesus directed that question, do you love me, changed the life of Peter. So what did Peter do is, he surrendered there. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love. It's not about me, Lord. It's everything is about you. When he said that, what happened is Jesus not only restored him, but God, we can see that the life of Peter was changed and he was able to do a great ministry. He was able to be used by God. You can see in the life of Peter, the one who denied Jesus, who was reinstated by Jesus, was even ready to die for Jesus. At the end, you can see even Peter was crucified. History says that Peter was crucified upside down because he was able to crucify himself. What happened was, the blessing was, he was deep rooted in faith. That is what I'm coming to say. If you crucify yourself, Peter, when he said, you know all, when he said, he was able to be deep-rooted in faith. He was not swayed by the wind anymore. There's no more instances which you can say that he went back. He did not go back to fishing again. He did not go to this old life again. But he stood firm. That one question, oh, do you really love me? The voice of Jesus today can change our lives. Even you can see today, if you're not hearing his voice, sit at his presence. Jesus' presence can change you. His voice can change you. If you hear his voice clearly in your life, if you hear even once in your lifetime, that will be a life-changing experience. So young people, desire to hear the voice of Jesus. Don't run according to circumstances. Don't run according to the worldly things. As the wind blows, do not go. But ask God, let me be deep-rooted in faith. How can I be deep-rooted in faith? If you hear the voice of God, that is what I'm coming to say. If you and I hear the voice of God, I can be deep-rooted in faith. My mission in this world will not end in vain, but my mission in this world will be a great blessing for the kingdom of God if I hear his voice and if I'm deep rooted in him. So today also, desire to hear the voice of God. If you crucify yourself, you can hear, you can be deep rooted in the faith. I know the time is running fast, so let me go fast a little bit. The next one you can see is Acts chapter 9. We can see a person. Here, it's a very familiar thing. You know, most of the people here know these instances. Here you can see in Acts chapter 9, you can see a man called Saul. What was he doing? He was persecuting the church. Out of the zeal for God, or out of the zeal for his Jewish religion, he started to persecute the Christians there. He started to going from house to house, and he started to persecute them, to kill them. And also you can see in the Acts chapter 7, when Stephen died, they laid his clothes on the feet of Saul. So he was a person who was in charge of persecuting. But what happened here is, when Saul was on his journey to Damascus, what happened in his life? When you read the fifth verse, it says, let me read to you. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So here you can see an incident which is occurring. Paul was on his journey to Damascus. But what happened is, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And when he heard that, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Because to his mind, he was doing the right thing. Today also, many times we young people, or even we think we are doing the right things. There are many things we think we are right and we continue to go. But what happens is, what seems to be right there doesn't mean that it should be right in the eyes of God. Here you can see Saul was right. In his perspective, he was right. According to the laws, he was right. He was doing things which he had to do. But what, when God saw his life was not right. He was persecuting the church. He was killing, because the zeal for the law, the zeal for the Jewish religion took control of him so much, he was blindfolded. Today also, many times we may think that we are right, doing things right. We are doing things out of our zeal, or we may do things out of our flesh. But what is the Lord desiring? What is the Lord's perspective? That is what you and I should be aware of. That is what you and I should think, what is happening. Here you can see, when the Lord Jesus looked at him, he saw that he was not doing the things what God wanted him to do. So what happened is, God honored his zeal. God honored the vigor that he had. And what God did is, he can see that Saul, he appeared to him in a vision and talked to him. What did he talk to him? He revealed himself to him, saying, when he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus. So this whom you are persecuting." So Jesus revealed himself to Saul there. And what happened is, he was trembling and astonished. The Bible says he was trembling because he thought he was right. He thought he was doing is correct. But what happened is, life changed over. Because when he knew the truth is that he was persecuting the Lord Jesus, what has happened is, he was trembling and astonished. And the Lord said, and he asked, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" This vision brought a life-changing experience in Paul. When this experience changed his life totally, we can see one Paul, who was a destroyer of the church, became the key builder of the Christian faith. You can see that is what you can see. When we talk about zeal, let me mention you one thing. When you go into this world, you can see people who are more zealous than us. You can see, for instance, you see the Muslim community. They are more zealous. They are more work-oriented. They do their prayers 5 times, which is good. And what happens is, God sees their zeal also. But many times we Christian, we lack the zeal. We lack the zeal to follow Christ. We who know the truth do not have that zeal like them. But what happens is, many times if you listen to testimonies, you can see like God speaking to Saul in visions. God has appeared to many Muslims, even though their gospel has not reached. As I was reading that one of the fastest growing churches is in Iran. How is it possible? It's not possible because there are no missionaries there. Western missionaries are not allowed there. But Jesus is appearing to them in visions, in dreams. Jesus is appearing to them. Why? How did this occur? Because of their zeal to follow God. Because of their pursuit that they wanted to know the truth. Is why Jesus comes and reveals something, reveals himself to them. So here also you can see, what you can see here is, Saul is being revealed revealed the truth there. When Saul was revealed, what happened is it was a regenerating experience for him. So if you crucify yourself, you will have a regenerating experience. All the old things will pass away. How did this occur in the life of Saul? It occurred because of his of the vision that he had on the way to Damascus. Today also, if you want to have a vision, if you want to have a regenerating experience, you should have an encounter with God. Without having an encounter with God, without having a vision of God, it is impossible to stay firm, or it is impossible to have that regenerating experience, or it is even impossible to lead a victorious Christian life to the end. If you try to live by your flesh, we may fail many times. That is what we can see. I recently even saw I saw an incident which occurred where a Christian became a Hindu. All of us will listen to the other side. And now she's a Hindu preacher. Why did this occur? Why does a Christian have to become a Hindu? She did not find the joy of Christ in our life. She did not know God truly in our life. He or she, you should know Jesus truly in your life is the only way you can stand firm to the end. If not, if you just practice as a religious practice, what will happen is after a period of time, you will get fed up of religion. Because religion cannot satisfy anything. Rituals cannot satisfy anything. But if you do things as a ritual, you are going to give up one day because you would say, oh, this is all garbage, you might say. But if you have the love of God through an encounter with God, as Saul had an encounter with God, your life will be transformed, and even you will be able to live till the end, even sacrifice your life for this living God if you have that encounter with God. So today, that is what you have to experience God. We are coming here and we are giving you this message so that you can crucify yourself, so that you can experience and have this regenerating experience. And let me just conclude. My time is running up. One more thing I will say. Crucifying yourself would lead you to become like his image. When you crucify yourself, you will reflect the image of God in your life. It helps us to grow in the Lord. When we become obedient to the Lord, our life will be changed. Look at the life of Jesus. When he was led to crucifixion, you can see that he kept his mouth shut. He was like a sheep which was led before the shearers. He did not retaliate, but what he did was he did the will of the master. Today also, when you crucify yourself, you will be able to reflect the image of God in your lives. So let me conclude here. The Bible says like this: I have been crucified with Christ. When it says that I have been crucified, it also means that after that, Christ lives in me. When I am crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But Paul doesn't end up there. He doesn't say that, oh, Christ is living in me, so my role is nothing. He didn't say it like that. But when you read the continuation of that verse, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God. Even though Christ is living in me, I am living by faith in the Son of God. I am not, due to the lack of time, I am not going into those second and third part. But today, I do not know how many of you understood my message. You have to crucify yourself. If you crucify oneself with Christ, what is the blessings you will get? You will have a transformation experience. You will have an experience where you are deep rooted in Christ. You will have an experience where you will have a regenerated life. You will have an experience where you can reflect his image. If you do not have any of these experiences of transformation, of regeneration, or if you are not deep rooted in life, it means that you have to get right with God. If you're not reflecting his image, So that is why I said this message is not for you. It's for me and for you, for every one of us. If you are not become like his image, you and I have to crucify ourselves to ourselves to Christ. When we crucify ourselves, God will be magnified. So let us surrender ourselves. Let us commit our lives and let us have a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. O Lord, we thank you, Lord, Master, for this message, O God. O Lord, help us, O Lord, to be crucified, Lord, Master, with you. O Lord, as Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, every individual in our church, every person, Lord, who is listening, Lord, to be crucified, Lord, so that the life that they live, they may understand that you live in them, Lord, Father, and that they may live by faith in you, O God, Master. Thank you, Father, for your words. Continue to bless us. Bless the remaining part of the service. Let your name be glorified and magnified. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.